This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast. It's Thursday, the 30th of January, 2025. Good morning. I'm Ian DeEubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news, including the policy book now in place as the American Farm Bureau annual convention concludes, and an update on the new world screwworm. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online to learn more, ffbt.com. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here, too, calling for rain as clouds increase around Indiana. And it was a second strong day in the grain and oilseed markets yesterday. Tom Fritz will tell us all about it on the Who's Your Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com. Or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Attention farmers. A big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Farm Bureau policies in place and new world screwworm getting under control. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Farm Bureau's policy book is set for the year. Delegates took care of that at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention in San Antonio this week. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall.
Our delegates, they reaffirmed our support to utilize domestic feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel and expanding the potential use of it. Labor was another hot topic, especially stabilizing wage rates in order to avoid drastic changes to pay rates year over year. And another key takeaway was on the U.S.-Mexican-Canada agreement, with delegates voting to support the USMCA review process to encourage new opportunities while protecting U.S. agriculture.
And Duvall says a key aspect to Farm Bureau policy is that the process starts at the local level.
And they raise on up to the state level, and then they're discussed at the national level. We had almost 350 farmers and ranchers delegates from across the country voting today. We once again surveyed our delegates, and 97% of them are from family farms. So we really do represent the diversity of agriculture.
Recapping their convention week, Duvall said the week in San Antonio was fantastic.
We had almost 5,000 attendees here, and their energy was great all week long. We also had more than 80 speakers here sharing their knowledge and experience with our attendees.
And he says to mark your calendars now for next year, January 9th through the 14th in California. For more info, visit fb.org.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
Late last year, Hoosier Ag Today told you that cattle imports from Mexico were suspended because of a very dangerous pest called the New World Screwworm. CJ Miller is here now with an update.
We have worked with Mexico to come up with a new protocol to allow us to begin importation of cattle out of Mexico.
And that's Dr. Burke Healy with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. He says the situation involving the New World Screwworm is improving.
While Mexico's situation with the screwworm is contained into the Yucatan region of southern Mexico, this policy will allow us to continue to have cattle trade, even if that fly should move farther north. So we're happy about that. And we've done some inspections and expect that we'll be able to start moving cattle in the next few weeks.
He says USDA is taking steps to battle the screwworm across Mexico and Central America.
So we are looking at trying to increase our our fly production capacity. Our main technique to control the screwworm is through a sterile fly technique where we sterilize male flies, release them so that when they mate with a female who only mates once in her life, that she'll lay sterile eggs. We are at production capacity in the existing facility in Panama that USDA collaborates with. So we're bringing those flies out of Panama into Mexico and Guatemala and Nicaragua and trying to maintain a barrier. But we are going to need more fly production if this continues and to really get an eradication program. We're working with Mexico and Nicaragua to increase that production.
In December, USDA announced they were providing $165 million in Emergency Commodity Credit Corporation funding to protect U.S. livestock from New World screwworm. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And if you haven't done so, be sure to download the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We see clouds increasing today, and we've got some rain headed towards us. Let's kind of run through what we've got. So today, we are mild. That's the first thing. Everything that comes towards us on precipitation is going to be liquid because of where we stand on our temperatures. So it's a mild day. Clouds increasing from southwest to northeast. That's the direction of our next weather system coming at us. So clouds increasing. Rain starts in southwest Indiana late this afternoon. And once it starts there, it expands quickly to cover the rest of the state through the evening and overnight. And we see a secondary low forming, tracking across central Indiana from tomorrow morning through late afternoon. The initial round of heavy rain is going to be in southern Indiana late today, tonight. And then we see that second low giving a chance for northern Indiana to catch up just a little bit. I'm going to pencil everyone with a quarter to 1.25 inches of rain, coverage 100%. The northern Indiana feature doesn't linger as long, but probably still makes it to midnight before it's done. So midnight tomorrow night, we're done with everything. Going into the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we are dry. Sunny and dry, a little bit cool for Saturday, but warmer on Sunday. Moving into Monday, we continue to be very, very mild. The rest of next week, honestly, is pretty dry. Tuesday, Wednesday, slightly cooler, maybe a few clouds because of that, but I'm not talking a lot of moisture. Getting into the late week, there's another weather system coming out of the central and southern plains. Once again, like the current one we're dealing with here today, tonight, tomorrow, it looks like the heart of it wants to move to the south of us, but I still think we end up with a good 75-80% coverage of rain here. Light rain for the end of next week, following that up with temperatures that look to stay pretty mild. Even if we cool down a little bit the week of the 10th early, we see a large upper-level ridge building to the western United States late in the week, and that's going to bring warm air right back. So lots of variability in temperatures here for the month of February coming up, but generally a lot warmer than we saw in January. That's your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat all posted gains. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I got that commentary from Tom Fritz at EFG Group at the end of trade. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher, led higher by Chicago wheat. Really a pretty good showing across all three. Tom, did you expect such a robust move here in the middle of the week?
No, I did not. I didn't see it happening today. I thought markets would move into a little bit of a consolidation phase at their recent upper end, not make new highs for the current rally. just a little bit respectful of the possible trade tariffs that the president may enact this weekend. But right now, barring the tariffs, there's a lot of comparison. I think your corn market's the leader across the board. You know, granted, corn was only up 11 and three quarters in the March, and March wheat was up 17 and a quarter, but wheat's playing a lot of catch up. And beans, I think, are influenced by meal. But the biggest influence is corn. The corn rally, it influences wheat higher as a feed alternative. It influences the meal market higher as a feed alternative. And I think the trade is looking at the 2021 season, where very, very similar to what we have going on right now in both the price action. Lows were made in, call it early, mid-late summer, meaning July, August, just like they were now. And the rally just, you know, continued on really up until May of the following spring. So that's your 2021 marketing year. And the biggest influence was, okay, now this year we've got a short corn, you know, tight corn stock situation. But that year we had a major influence from the Brazilian second season corn. Second season corn got off to a very late start that year, similar to what's happening now. And that late start had the corn pollinating during the hottest time of the dry season, and their yields were cut by 50% over what the long-term trend was. And so I think the funds are looking at that right now, you know, playing the game of what if. And, okay, you know, I'd like to think the forecasts for South America are a little bit different. I know my guy is saying the delays, soybean harvest delays will continue through the weekend, but then the 6 to 10 day and the 11 to 15 day forecasts are going to move to a drier trend for the harvest ready areas of the soybeans in Brazil, and the southern areas will see some beneficial moisture during that time frame. And Argentina, yeah, they're, you know, they've had their issues, even though I don't think it's all that bad yet. But the current forecast for Argentina, it's going to be dry in the north for the near term, wet in the south in the 6 to 10 day forecast, and mostly near normal moisture throughout Argentina for the 11 to 15 day forecast. Now, that's just the forecaster that I choose to follow. You know, it, to me, everybody gets the same data. And it's all about interpreting that data. So with that said, you know, who knows how good is the weather forecasting capability beyond the last three, you know, the most current 3-4 days. So, but I do think that's the driving force here. The funds are getting longer. They've got the wheat market running with it. And I think it's influenced the meal market. And that in turn influences the soybean market. I don't think the slow harvest in Brazil is creating new demand for U.S. beans because, number one, China is closed for the next week due to the Lunar New Year. And from what I understand, China's got a lot of beans on the books for February and March.
Market commentary from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On the Hat Wednesday, farm market review, 11 and three quarters higher on the March corn contract. It ended at 497. May settles 507 and a half, a gain of 11 and a half. July up 10 and three quarters, 509. 15 and a half better. March beans, 1060 and a half. May 1075 and a quarter, up 15 and three quarters. July up 16 and a half at 1088. 58¾. 17¼ up on the March and May wheat contracts. March 562½. May 576. Meats down. February live cattle 207.02, a dip of $1.52. Lean hogs for February flat at 83.90. April did go up 42 cents, 91.32. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.